Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
I like to hear, for this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday we were shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew, and we started off with a news story about an 82-year-old Alabama grandma who was arrested for not paying her trash bill for $77.80. Yes, Ms. Grandma, you know, was notified and reminded that she had a garbage service bill covering the months of June, July, and August. And when it went unpaid, they sent out a warrant for her arrest. Oh, yeah, that's how they do it down in a good old town of Alabama. And when the cops arrested her, she started crying. Yes. She was a bit upset and was crying. And, the cop said, come on, Miss Martha. Don't cry. Listen, you were warned. You were warned, and, you know, we're sorry, but we've got to take and throw you in jail. So, you know, Miss Martha said, you know, I'm so glad that my grandchildren were not there because they would have been so upset over this arrest. And you know how we... I was a bit confused because at 82, Grandma clearly had some children or child who were... who didn't help for whatever the reason is. And, you know, this misdemeanor arrest said that there was a failure to pay solid waste fees. And, you know, when they posted this notice, you know, about what happened, you know, social media went crazy. Because they felt that, you know, why would you even bother to arrest somebody 82, you know, at this time of their life, you're bothering them. And, you know, the powers that be, you know, of the police department said, hey, you know, listen, they were doing their job. The police chief said, listen, she was notified, and we have a job to do. And we need to collect, or either, you know, you're going to go off in them handcuffs. So, you know, I talked to the Due Time crew, and, You know, we had some mixed we had some mixed feelings. And the ladies said that, you know, no, I would not have, you know, arrested Ms. Martha. You know, I would have put, you know, gone in my pocket and I would have paid that bill. And then you had, you know, others who said, nah, you know, I would put the handcuffs on her, but she would have to go. And then you got absolutely not. Ms. Martha would have to turn around, get them handcuffs on her, and we going down to the police station. Now, what they do with Ms. Martha after that, I ain't got nothing to do with. But if I was the police, I'm sorry, Ms. Martha, I might not laugh at you, but I do know that I would put them handcuffs on you. Because, you know, Miss Martha might be a little dangerous. You know what I thought about? Remember Grandma Dynamite? Come on, y'all. I'm not talking to a whole lot of young people or a whole lot of millennials. I'm talking to some of us old folk. You know, Grandma Dynamite from the Flintstones. Remember that? And Grandma Dynamite looked all, you know, disabled, and you know, she used to walk with her cane, and oh no, she was dangerous. So that's what they were talking about yesterday. You know, I don't know who I'm really dealing with. And, you know, hey, she going to go in them handcuffs. But, you know, on a serious note, we wrapped it up, and we talked about, somebody say, yes, I remember. You know, we talked about how we should treat God's people. You know, we have been charged with taking care of the elderly, the widows, children. You know how we're supposed to do that. And, you know, hey, let's make sure we do what we're supposed to do. You know, make sure, you know, we remember, you know, that we had a grandma or we have a grandma and, you know, they need our help. You know, my question is, you know, and was yesterday, you know, you talking about them grandkids would be upset. If two grandchildren, if grandkids only meant two, $77.80 ain't a whole lot to come up with, you know, over these months. We're not even talking about the bill was due for a month. This bill was due for quite some time. So you mean to tell me that all of y'all couldn't have gotten together and paid the bill? So I don't want to hear nothing about how the grandkids would feel personally. But people of God, you know, let's take care of our elderly and those who cannot do for themselves and make God happy and pleased with our life, okay? All right, now. Well, yesterday, thank God, we were able to get our next switch tip with Shantice. Don't stay caught up. Now, that was a good comeback, considering that we, you know, she was too sick the week before to give us our switch tip. It was a nice comeback. You know, don't get caught up. Is that what I said? Is that what she said? No, nope, she said don't stay caught up. And I like that, you know. We may not be able to catch when we get caught up. But let me tell you something that I know about the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is not going to leave you caught up in anything that is not of God. Oh! Did I say that? You might get caught up. Because sometimes things happen so quickly, you know, you don't even see it coming. It might could be in your face. That might slip on by you. But once you get caught up, the Spirit of the Lord, and let's go back a little bit. Don't stay caught up. Well, listen, you know, I said sometimes it happens before you can even blink twice. But I promise you that most of the time, the Spirit of the Lord going to catch you before you even get caught up. But sometimes, you know, God lets things happen. He allows things to go on so that we can, you know, be aware and learn and, you know, experience some things so he can take us to higher heights. So, you know, you just might get caught up. But I promise you, the Spirit of the Lord going to start talking. So that's if you get caught up in a friendship that shouldn't go down, that shouldn't be permanent, a connection with someone that's only there for a season, not for a lifetime. God's going to tell you when to let go. You know, did you, you know, pick up that friendship at work? You know, did you even get caught up with a family member? And that family member ain't no good. Okay, did you get caught up with somebody in church? You know, I've talked about some people in church that might be sitting right by you, right beside you. You know how, listen, you know how we do. Well, once we done been somewhere twice, that's our permanent seat. We go for that seat each and every week. So if that person in that row, that person in the seat next to you, they ain't no good for you, God gonna let you know that. And you may need to just be church members together, and that's it. You come to church, and then it's time for you to move on. You know, everybody is not prepared to enter into your space just because they go to church. All right? So, you know, again, I know what the Spirit of the Lord is capable of. Come on now. Let's talk about it Tuesday. I know what the Spirit of the Lord is capable of. And the Spirit of the Lord ain't going to leave you in no situation you ain't got no business in. That's his job, to navigate you through life. That's your permanent, personal GPS. That's your personal navigational system. And then, you know, the Spirit of the Lord ain't never going to take you into no dead end. Nope. You may take yourself into a dead end. But Spirit of the Lord ain't going to do that. Always going to knock on that door. You're making the right turn, and it's going to say, rerouting. Yes, that means come up from out that thing. Turn that car around. Get yourself together. Don't stay caught up. Boy, that switch tip is loaded. We could talk about that for this whole entire 2 hours. Yes. And come to think of it, I might come back to that. Oh, let's see what happens today. Let's see what happens today. Well, that was our switch tip for the week. Don't stay caught up. All right? Come on. You ain't got no excuse. Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. And, ooh, I got some news that I came across last night. And they're not, like, long news stories. So we get a chance to talk about it. Yeah. It's not a whole lot of information that's given. Yeah. They were really quick and short news stories. But, man, loaded with conversation. And don't forget, it's also Church Folk Day. So, you know, the pastors are on deck, and they are going to converse with me. And listen, always feel free to join in on the conversation. All right? 516-387-1358. Is the number you call if you want to chat and join this conversation. All right? Don't hesitate. It's always welcome. Always welcome. Okay? So, go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
I don't want to go blind from diabetes.
I don't want to lose a foot or a leg.
I don't want to have kidney failure, so I'm taking control.
I'm controlling my diabetes.
It's making a huge difference.
I'm eating healthy and staying physically active.
I'm taking my medicine.
If I can do it, anyone can.
Control your diabetes for life. Call 1-800-438-5383.
Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. Man, there's so much to talk about. You know, all you got to do is read news and really get a chance to see what this world is going through. Yeah. You know, it's not hard to see that the world needs Jesus. Mm-mm. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Because, you know, you see how dysfunctional people are. You see, you know, what's setting people off. And it's any little thing. You know, it doesn't take a lot for people to go off these days. Everybody's walking around with a chip on their shoulder. Everybody walking around mad. Even our kids. Everybody got attitudes. Somebody that made somebody mad. And before you know it, you know, it's an argument or a fight. And it's a fight to the finish. It's who can get who first. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just glad that I know a man named Jesus. What about you? What about you? All right, now, so what are we talking about today? Where are we starting? All right. So, you know, I just got finished saying that everybody walking around with a chip on their shoulder, and there's a reason why I'm mad, and there's a reason why I'm reacting the way I'm reacting and responding the way I'm responding. Well, you have this 42-year-old man who has a girlfriend, and, you know, they're out in Texas, and 30-year-old Cassandra Gutierrez is his girlfriend. Now, it says that 30-year-old Cassandra confronted her 42-year-old boyfriend on Thanksgiving Day about the fact that, you know, he's not doing his job, okay? And when the conversation got heated, you know, things really went bad. So it starts off with the fact that they've been together for a year. And they had been out drinking. Oh, there they go with them red cups. You know, they were out drinking. And after they finished drinking, they started, you know, they left and they started talking. And it took on a turn for the worse. And, man, she got a knife. And she started stabbing him. and she stabbed him in the neck, the back, both hands, and then he was able to kind of get away from her and left a trail of blood that led up to her apartment. Now, she was talking to him about the fact that he was not helping out with the bills. Jesus, I don't understand. Because here's what made me mad, y'all. Let's talk about this thing. So, she got mad because he wasn't helping out with the bills. But this had been going on for quite some time. Yeah. He felt he wasn't pulling his weight. And he had been talking to him about it. And she got tired of talking to him about it. And I guess it was time to bust out the knife. And that's when she got to stabbing him. And my thing is, leave him alone. Leave him alone. They've been together for a year. If you've seen after a certain time that he's not going to pull his weight, then go ahead about your business. Go ahead about your business. Listen, you are 30 years old. He is 42 years old. You know, I there's certain times when I say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Now, he is 12 years your senior, and you talking to him about paying a bill? Well, if he's 12 years older than you and he ain't paying no bills, and see, here's the thing. I'm trying to see in this article about them living together, because they would have to be living together, because why else would it matter whether he was helping to pay bills or not? If he's living in his spot and you living in your place, then what difference does it make? So needless to say, they had to be, you know, living together in order for this to even be an issue. Okay? So when you saw after a certain amount of time that this 12-year difference in this age, he still wasn't acting responsibly, you automatically knew that you ain't had no business marrying him. You know, so that don't even think that way, because if you were having problems with him before the marriage, you were definitely going to have problems with him after the marriage. Oh, absolutely. Okay, so why are you mad? Listen, let me tell you something. This is why I tell y'all all the time. Make sure you stay friends. Make sure you stay friends long enough to watch their behavior. Because let me tell you something. Let's talk about this thing. Let's talk about it Tuesday. Let's talk about it. So, you know, while you're dating, right, you're going out with friends, and you're going to see that he's cheap. Because when everybody puts up, watch him. Watch her. Is she going to sit back and she's the last one to put up her money on the table? You know, now everybody can't look at the bill at the same time. But I've been at a table with other people. I'm like, listen, so tell me while you looking at yours, tell me what mine is. I ordered the cheeseburger and fries, and I had, you know, a soda. So at least you know your starting point, because you got to split the tip and you got to split the taxes. Now, if he or she is sitting back up in the cut and they not, you know, really talking, then you already know what that's about. Come on now. We done all been there. There's some people we just won't go out to eat with. If you go out alone and it's a one-to-one and y'all just chilling and y'all go out to eat and y'all just friends, you watch them habits. Are they always going to complain and find a reason not to tip? Are y'all going to go out shopping and, you know, you like, you know, you like your this and she like her that, or you like your this and he like his that, and, you know, they cheap, you know, they won't splurge on themselves, they won't spend, you know, any little extra money, and, you know, everybody has different spending habits, but watch, that's why I said date. Everybody immediately, once they meet somebody, their mind is already on marriage. Their mind is always on permanence. No! If you took the time to just watch, observe, then you gonna know whether they cheat with paying bills. Listen, when you're talking to a friend, bill paying is always gonna come up after a while. Come on, come on, come on. Help me out here. How you pay your bills, or how you view paying bills, or, you know, how you think the man is holding you down, or, you know, how it ain't, you know, they ain't fair to women, and all that's coming up. Spend enough time. Spend enough time. And when you hear all this conversation, you're going to get to know whether you need to be partnering up with this person. Do not go into that, into a relationship thinking you're going to help change the person. No, because if you've been friends long enough and you've been influential enough, you'll see. You'll see. You don't want to partner up with the person and then find out that you're not influential enough for that person. You know, what you do and how you act and, you know, your ways that are God's ways are not coming across. Then stay friends a little bit longer. Let them go to church with you. Let God begin to do some things. And God will let you know whether you need to be partnered up with this person or not. But here we are. She's been dating him for a year. And, you know, she's tired of, you know, his lackluster attitude about paying bills. And like I said, this man is 42 years old. You only 30. So if you're 30 years old and you already understand the concept of paying bills and, you know, what you need to really do with your money, and then you party or chill later after you take care of the bills, and he at 42, he hasn't figured this thing out yet, you need to stay friends. Yeah, he don't need to be your man. So now here you are, because you didn't stay friends long enough. You are being charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, behind bars with a bond set at $75,000. Now, if you're 30 years old, you really probably ain't got no whole lot of people in your corner where you can get whatever it is, get you up out of there. So, my thing is, again, you know, I need to just watch you a little longer. Listen, come on, this is sound advice here. This is sound counsel. You know, the Bible even tells us, examine the facts. Pay attention, y'all. Alrighty? Alrighty. Now, what else are we going to talk about? I think I'm gonna wait on that one. Oh, I got so many good stories. I got so many good stories. Like I said, they're short stories, but hey, they're good stories. All right, now here's this next story. Remember, I said examine the facts, yo. Sometimes, no matter how long you've been with a person, it still ain't long enough. So there's this woman. She's, the story goes that she's been in a marriage for 14 years. She has several children, 2, 12, and 16. Now, the 12 and 16-year-old children are from a previous relationship, and the 2-year-old is from the relationship with this 14-year-old marriage, or within this 14-year-old marriage. So it says that she goes to take a shower in her daughter's bathroom. And the shower light wouldn't come on, so she thought that, you know, the fixture needed a new bulb. But when she went to take a closer look and unscrew the bulb, finds out that there was a camera in the socket. Now, here's the problem. The husband, who's a construction worker, had recently remodeled the girl's bathroom. And she's thinking this is when he must have taken the time to put this camera in the bathroom. So what you think he put that camera in the daughter's bathroom for? So when she confronted him, he admitted it. He admitted to installing the camera in the girl's bathroom. And she then took her children, all three of them, and she left. Now, here we are, 14 years in marriage. So that means that when she got with this man, this 16-year-old was two. So what you thinking as the mom? Okay, when she asked him why he put this camera in the bathroom, in her shower, he didn't give a reason. He said it was a mistake. He also told her that he never watched anyone take a shower because the camera never worked. Now, I'm lost. So you remodeled the bathroom. You put a camera in the bathroom. Now, again, this bathroom is the bathroom where the 16-year-old is. So, you know, they must have, like, more than one bathroom. And to give her, like, her own little space or privacy, you know, you give her this bathroom to use. So you remodel in the bathroom, you put a camera in the shower, and you can't say why? You can't even say why you never told mom you put the camera in the bathroom. Man, all I know is, you know, this is on the other side of the fence. Because had it been on this side of the fence, you know, it wouldn't have gone down very well, because there would have been some slashing, some cutting, maybe even a gun involved. Oh, yeah. We not just packing up the kids and leaving. It ain't going down so simplistic as that. So he was arrested and charged with attempted sexual exploitation of a minor, and he's being held on $20,000. Okay. Ah, check this out. He's not eligible for release because he's on hold from Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Now, you've been married to this man for 14 years, and ICE still can get involved with his life? Come on, y'all. Do you see why this came up on the radar today for Let's Talk About It Tuesday? You've been married to this man for 14 years, and ICE is still in our business? Yo, let me get another story here, because this, I'm not understanding. In all this time, y'all were friends, y'all were partners, legally. Come on now. Now, maybe in her defense, you know, she was working on it. But while she was working on that, he was working on something else. If he paid more attention to getting his life right with ICE, He wouldn't have had no time to be looking at no minor. All right, y'all. All right. I can't wait to talk to my girl, Pastor Charlene, on this stuff here. All right, what are we talking about? All right, next story. So, you know how the big thing is now, the Ring camera that's used as a doorbell and also as the eye for your house. Well, you know, this woman has her Ring installed in her apartment door. And it's directly across from another apartment. So she says that when she was looking at the footage of her neighbor, she said that she noticed that her neighbor was letting a man in that wasn't her husband, the woman's husband, the neighbor's husband. And they say from the angle of, remember, they're right across the hall, you can see perfectly, clearly. So they say that in the beginning of the video, you can see her neighbor's door, and you can see the husband leaving for work. Then the video at 9 o'clock shows another man at the front door with a pack of beer. So the viewer believes it's like it's DoorDash. But the neighbor lets the man in. So you know it ain't no DoorDash at that point. So now at 3 a.m., the camera shows the man leaving with a hoodie in his hand. And the wife, the woman of the house, is standing in the doorway with only a shirt on and no pants. And she, you know, I guess she kisses him or whatever. She sees him off and she goes inside. Then the neighbor says that the next thing it shows, the video, is the woman's husband returning back home the next morning after being gone for quite some time. And as a matter of fact, like somehow it covers days. This was days later. So I guess she's looking at this footage maybe every so often. And now you don't know what happens after that because she doesn't say what happens after that. She just says that that's what happened. So it shows this woman cheating on her husband. So, you know, the TikTokers ask, you know, hey, what happened? And she was like, well, I'm just being a nosy neighbor. I didn't tell, you know, the husband show the husband the footage. But I tell you one thing, that wife is quite lucky because there would have been another neighbor who wouldn't have cared about how close they were, you know, to in proximity to one another. They would have showed that footage. Even said, oh, you know, did you notice that? Oh, you know, let me show you. Whatever. However, whatever the excuse was, oh, yeah. She would have bust out that camera and showed that video footage. And the husband would have had some information. She would have definitely busted her neighbor wide open. So I want to ask, would you have told? You know, would you have gotten involved like that? And if so, why? If not, why? I'm just curious. I'm not encouraging you and saying that you should or you shouldn't have. I'm just asking what you would have done had it been had it been you. Okay? So, one of my last stories for, you know, my little last short story is the fact that, you know, we've kind of had this before when I think about it, but I can't think of the degree of the story. It didn't play out just like this, but it played out, you know, pretty close. So here's the deal. Again, maybe you didn't date long enough. So this couple's been together for over 10 years. Well, I guess they did. I guess they did date long enough because they've only been married for 3 years and they have 2 children. And they are always arguing. Always arguing. And, you know, the husband works, you know, from his angle. He's working. He's providing for his family. And she, for her side of the story, you know, she's a stay-at-home, you know, wife and mom. And she cooks regularly. And, you know, she does what she's supposed to do. He does what he's supposed to do. And they watch movies. They go on dates. They, you know, from time to time, they seem to be happy. And then before you know it, the skyrockets go off once again. So they say, you know, when they're arguing, you know, she's always saying that she doesn't feel heard. And he always, his complaint is she's disrespectful and won't listen to him. And check this out. He's been complaining about this since before the marriage. Now, didn't we just get finished talking about if you see these things before the marriage, why would you get married? I don't know what makes people think that once you get married, things gonna change. I don't understand it. I don't get it. When he puts a ring on it, ain't nothing gonna change. When you put a ring on her, ain't nothing gonna change. Now, I gotta tell you all this, you know, ground information because it needs to build so you can understand why it ended up, you know, where it is. So his main issue is that his wife raises her voice during conflict. She's argumentative, and he feels that she wants to be in control. Okay? She says she's tried to meet her husband's request, but no matter what, no matter how petty, no matter how big, you know, he sends her from 0 to 100 really fast. Okay? Now, they've had arguments, and one of the most recent arguments is over parenting. Now, this has been an ongoing argument, but this is one of the most recent arguments that has really set things off. And he feels like she takes the daughter side and she doesn't defend him when he's trying to discipline the child. So now this argument escalates to a point where he's just fed up. Okay? Now, he wants out of the marriage because he says that he's tired of the constant conflicts. He doesn't see her changing. And she's pleading for the marriage not to be over. She wants to stay in the fight. He's done. He claims that disrespect to men means everything. And once you disrespect your husband, it's the worst offense. And he says that men would rather be cheated on than disrespected. Mm. Now, that's the first time I've ever heard that one. He also tells her, ready? That's why I had to give you the groundwork. He tells her that the only way he'll stay with her after all her bad behavior and after all her argumentative ways is if she becomes a fool for him like he's become a fool for her. And after dealing with all her disrespect throughout these years, he wants her to agree that he can cheat on her just one time, just one good time. And then if she allows him to cheat on her just one good time, that he'll stay with her. Because he says he wants her to feel the pain that he's been feeling all of these years. Now, I done laid the groundwork for y'all. I done gave y'all the story. I done gave y'all the history. Really, y'all? That's what he's proposing. She wants him to stay. He's done. He wants to leave. But I'm trying to get the connection of, he says he'll stay after all she's done. If she becomes a fool for him, like he's become a fool for her after dealing with her and her disrespect throughout all these years. So that takes him to, I guess, she's going to be a fool for him by letting him cheat on her just once. That's what he says, just once. And if she does that, he'll stay with her. Where my girl's at? Where's my girl? Let me speak to Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am fine. I'm fine. All right, Pastor Charlene. How you doing over there? You all right?
I'm ready. Yes, ma'am. I'm good.
All right, Pastor Charlene. We've got some stories to talk about. So let's talk about, now we can't stay on anything too long because I surely want to get to this last story. Still want to get to this last story, but I do want to talk about these other stories. So you have this woman, 30 years old, who is so tired of her boyfriend, and this must be a live-in boyfriend, who has not been helping to pay the bills, and he's 42. And she's finished and tired of all of the arguments and him not, you know, picking up his share of paying the bills, and she gets so mad that she ends up stabbing him. And she stabs him in his neck, in his back, both his hands, and then he's able to get away from her. What do you say about this situation?
So he came in with you without a job, because if he had a job, you wouldn't have that problem. So did you think that he was going to get one when you was taking care of him? See, a lot of things we start doing, and once we start doing, don't get mad when they want you to continue. My grandma told me that. So however they come in and you allow them to do, they will continue. So now she's fed up and she wants him to get a job. Now I can't even imagine me getting up and going, unless you hurt, you had a job, you got hurt. But for you to get up and go to work every day and leave him home playing them games, because that's what they do. They're playing them games and he ain't picking up his clothes. He ain't cooking nothing. He ain't doing nothing. Well, so she finally got fed up with that. And then decided now you think that he should change. Well, he ain't going to change, though. So now she stabs him. Wow. Well, you know, that's that blackout moment that we talked about before. You know, sometimes people, you know, that argument come, you know, and you have that moment. And where that, before you know it, you done said something, done went in the kitchen, And there that go.
Man, oh man, oh man. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Pastor Charlotte, I see Pastor Jeff and Pastor KL are both on. So let's hear what they got
Come
to
on.
Say. Let's see what they got to say, because this is about to make for a very good, interesting conversation. Good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good, 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 because I need you well to have these conversations this morning. So you got this 30-year-old woman who's been involved with this 42-year-old man for 1 year. And clearly they have this live-in arrangement. And she is tired. She's grown real tired of him not pulling his weight. So clearly they've agreed what he was going to do. He was going to help pay the bills. But on Thanksgiving Day, they get to talking about the fact that he hasn't been pulling his weight, and she's tired of him not paying the bills that he claimed he was going to pay. Things escalated, and she ends up stabbing him multiple times with a kitchen knife. My theory is, your Pastor Charlotte's theory, my theory is you're 30, he's 42. He's already 12 years your senior. You have a responsibility level that you're living by, and he has a responsibility level that he's living by. Now, after 12 years being your senior, he can't seem to get this together. Why you just don't leave? Why you sit and wait till you get that angry that you end up stabbing him? He over here is not going to get this done. You've been together for a year. After a certain amount of time, you saw he wasn't going to do it. Then separate. What you say, Pastor Jeff?
Well, first of all, her stabbing him, that stuff been in her. You know, that lunatic has been in her already. It has nothing to do with him. If you know, she's got an anger issue that, you know, just it took that to bring it out. So that lunatic is in her. But she, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, I tell people all the time, you deserve what you get. That man is already set in his ways when you got with
him. Yep.
And you thinking you could change him, that was idiotic. All right?
Mm-hmm.
He's too old. Mm-hmm. He's too old already. Looks like he had nothing coming, bringing to the table anyway. So you got you a piece of man and a pair of pants, and you thought you was going to change it, and now you frustrated. But the person you should be frustrated with is yourself for making such a silly choice. And, you know, you stab him, but you probably should have stabbed yourself. You know?
I agree. You need to be mad more at you than him. I agree. I said the same thing earlier that you said, Pastor Jeff. If you 30 and he 42, y'all only been together for a year. Sometimes you just can't teach an old dog new tricks. So guess what? You should have watched to find out more about him, and you would have seen that he wasn't somebody who was paying bills. And you wouldn't have gotten, or you may not have gotten with him if you paid a little more attention. But like you said, the pants. And what else? She got a man and a pair of pants? That's what you said?
Well, that's what she settled for, you know, at 30, was just somebody with a pair of pants. Because if he ain't working on something at the age he's at, unless he got out of jail or something, you know, he ain't going to do nothing.
All righty now.
You know, chances are.
Okay. I agree. Oh, come on, Pastor KL. What you got to say about this story? Good morning.
Giving honor to God, who is the head of my life.
Hello.
Pastor Charlotte, Pastor Jeff, God bless you. God bless you. Good morning.
Oh, gosh.
Bless
Good
you,
morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored of God.
You know what? I can't with you this morning. What are we talking about here, Pastor KL?
Well, I mean, a lot of things go through my mind. First of all, you know, we had this conversation about blanking out. But now you're at a point where you don't have to worry about the bills, because where you're going, the lights are paid for. The food is paid for. Everything is paid for. So you don't have to worry about nobody sharing the expenses. And then you did this at Thanksgiving. You already knew he was the turkey. That's why you tried to call him. So that's a whole other problem. Now the third thing I'm looking at, now you're going away in the big house, and he's left alone at home to pay all the bills. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, because that's going to be real quick. I hope everything went well. Everything had to be in her name. So your name is already mud, but it ain't going to matter. I agree. It ain't going to matter. Because you're already down, and you're going to be further down. But it ain't going to matter, because you're going away for, what did they say? She's going away for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. So she's going to spend a couple of years there. She's going to have to worry about her credit score or anything else. I agree. I agree 100%. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. All right. We have this woman who's married for 14 years. She has three children, 2, 12, and 16. The 12-year-old and the 16-year-old are from a previous relationship. The 2-year-old is from the relationship she has with the 14-year, with the guy she's been married to for 14 years. They recently renovate the daughter's bathroom, the 16-year-old daughter's bathroom. And when the wife goes to use the bathroom, the lights are not working properly. She thinks that it's the bulb that needs to change, but when she goes to change the bulb, she sees that it's a camera in the socket. And he's the only one that's been in his bathroom. Now, when she asks him, he admits the fact that he put that camera up in that light fixture, but he doesn't give a reason why. And he says it was a mistake and that he never watched anyone take a shower because the camera never worked. Now, the anyone is the daughter because it's her bathroom. And, he's now being held on $20,000 bond. However, he still couldn't go nowhere anyway because he's on a hold from Immigration and Customs Enforcement. So ICE is involved because he's not even legal here, even though he's been married for 14 years. Pastor Jeff, it's on you first. What are we talking about here? You done renovated this bathroom. You done put this camera in the light socket, but you say you ain't never watched nobody, and you don't know why you did it. Is that acceptable?
I mean, of course that's not acceptable. I mean, clear as day, you know why he put the camera. You know, he's looking at the daughter, and, you know, they need to just go ahead and deport his behind on out of here because the dude, you know, he got a problem. You know, I mean, there's no more to be said about that. He's a pedophile. The daughter's 14, right?
She's 16.
Oh, she's okay, but the same thing. You know, he's watching something that's not his wife, and he's probably been watching it since she was a little girl. And this ain't the first time. He just got busted.
They got married. She was 2. Because if she's 16 now and they've been married for 14 years, this has been going on for a long time. I agree. She was 2 years old when they got married. Pastor Kale, what you saying?
I'm in agreement. No one goes outside in a store or online to buy a camera or any other product that they don't intend to use. Not only did he buy the camera, he hooked the camera up. For what? If you don't intend to use it, first of all, you wouldn't spend that money, and then you wouldn't spend that time to hook it up. So, yeah, and the scary part about it, since you said they've been together since she was two, now he has a two-year-old. So that's even more scary, because if this is in you, you know, it doesn't make a difference whether it's biologically or not. It's in you. This is what you do. You're a peeping Tom.
All right, Pastor Sean, you heard what the men had.
In your country no more.
What'd you say?
I said this is probably why he's not in his own country anymore.
Might be. May have fled from there. Because he's a whole lot older than 14 years old. Are you right?
Right.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Pastor Charlene, it's on you.
Okay. So I've been waiting for this one. So he done put it up there, and he's been watching her, like everybody has said it, since she was two. But now before she got there, who else were you watching? Because, you know, we have company, and we'll take the children out that room and give it to the company, you know. So you've been watching her. You've been watching her friends. Her little friends is coming over, spending the night. So you're watching everybody. See, my thing, as soon as you said you did it, Ice ain't got to look for you. Nobody got to look for you, because I'm already going to take care of you. Don't judge me, y'all. Don't judge me. Just a mother that's crazy. That's all.
Okay.
Just don't judge me.
So
my thing is, he does have an issue. He got a problem. Okay. But once you do that, my thought went to, now where's this baby daddy at? Because you said that was another marriage, right? So now I might not get you, but daddy going to get you. You guys, just think about it. It's your daughter, but you're not with that mama no more, and there's a man that's watching your daughter. Y'all talk very calm today. I appreciate that, but let's just think about it. Everything would have been flipped over, and they wouldn't have been able to find him. That's why we always got to keep some friends that's not saved.
Then, oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Yo, if that ain't thug, Pastor Charlotte, that ain't thug. Where's Al today? Where is Al today? That is right up his alley for Pastor Charlotte. Yeah, that is crazy. Pastor Charlotte, you know, I do agree with you when I say that's a response. You know, they say that all she did was pack up the kids and she left. And my thing is, if it was a mama on this side of the fence, oh, it would have been over. It would have been over. Yeah, Ice wouldn't have been able to find him because, she would have called up, you know, Cousin Buck, Peanut, and everybody else to take care of him. That wouldn't have even had gone down. The cops would have been called after. And she said, you know, my husband's been missing for like 2 weeks, and we don't know. He left the house to go get some cigarettes, and he never came back. And he would have known all along what happened to him. Or she would have said, you know what? Y'all just deal with this. I don't need to know. That way, when they ask me, all I can say is, I don't know. If they give me a lie detector test, all I'm saying is, I don't know, and I ain't lying. I don't know. Okay, y'all just do what y'all need to do, and that's all I'm saying. I'm going to leave it right there. When I pack up and leave, I ain't going to have to pack up and leave, because all I know is he went to get some cigarettes. Now, he didn't did this before, but he came back in a couple of days. Now, this time, he just didn't show up. I thought he was having an affair, But I guess now the proof is out there. He don't want me no more. You know, I'm hurt. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do with me and my three kids, but we're going to manage. You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It will go down just like that. So, Pastor Charlotte, I get you. It would be all different. And, so this is interesting.
Pop from the barbershop.
Yes, I would have his pop from the barbershop. Absolutely. Oh, my gosh, this is hilarious. All right, one more story before we get to the story that I really want to talk about. So this neighbor has a Ring doorbell, which is we know is also a camera, that she can see straight across the hallway to the other apartment. And she says that, you know, when she reviewed the video, she saw the husband leave. It's a couple. It's a married couple. The video shows him leaving for work, and then it shows a delivery because a man is standing there with some stuff in his hand. She thought it was a pack of beer. She thought it was DoorDash, but she realized it wasn't DoorDash when she let him in. Okay. Then later it shows the man leaving with a hoodie in his hand, and she's standing at the door with only a shirt on. No pants, just a shirt, and she lets him leave. Then it shows, like a few days later, the husband coming back home after being gone for a couple of days. And she tells this, I guess, TikTok or whatever, and Pastor KL, is that you building a house?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Who's building a house?
Thank you, Jesus.
Stop building.
Stop
building a house.
Okay, that was me laying some tile.
So I just so happened to say, stop building the house, and you lay in town. Lord have mercy. Oh, gosh, this is hilarious. Only on his due time with Pastor Steph. All right. So the other TikTokers want to know, well, what did you do? Did you hand over the video to the husband? Did you tell the husband? Did you tell the wife that you saw all of this and you now are going to blackmail her? What are you doing with this video? And she said, no, I'm just being a nosy neighbor. Pastor KL, what would you have done? Would you have just left it, you know? And I'm not saying you should or shouldn't have. I just want to know what you would have done. That's all I'm asking.
But what I've done with who, the neighbor or with the video?
With the fact that you got all of this on video and you are aware that all of this is going down.
Yeah, my mortgage would have been paid for, you know, at least a couple of months. My life. You know, that $77 that I needed for the trash bill, you know, that would have been paid too. You know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah. I'd have had that in the archives. You know, Thanksgiving would have been on you. Christmas would have been on you. You know what I mean? We'd have did a reindeer run to the store or something like that. But yeah, it would have been good. It would have been good.
Pastor Charlene, what would you have done with the video?
I would just keep it for, you know, future when I need it. I would have just been watching it, got me some popcorn like a movie. But I wouldn't have told her or him anything until I needed something. Then I can blackmail her.
You know what? Pastor Charlotte, I need to check your credentials. I got to check. I need to know who ordained you. I need to know what you told them back then. I need to know, because this is confession. This is confession. This is going down in our archives.
Pastor Steph, don't everybody, they live in a house or not, got something on one of their neighbors. We all know something. Don't try to act like it's just me. You might not have said nothing, but when we went in the house, you and them girls got there, girl, you heard what happened? So-and-so and so. So-and-so is cheating on so-and-so. Everybody know in the building who's with who, especially if they doing it all the time. You know when that husband left out, who was creeping. Creep, creep, creep. That's why they made that song. Creep, creep, creep. You know.
Ooh, Pastor Sean, I'm still checking them credentials. I don't care what you say. I'm still checking them credentials. I'm still checking them credentials. Pastor Jeff, should we check Pastor Charlotte's credentials?
Nah, listen. It takes all type to preach the gospel.
I'll take that.
You just got your back up, Pastor Charlene.
I said I got that. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Pastor Jeff, what are you telling people to do with this footage?
Mind their business.
All right, then.
Listen, people will get found out after a while. It ain't your business. And through life experience, I've found out, you stay out of that, stay out of that. Get in it.
All right, and now.
People, they turn on you. That husband probably know what he's dealing with. Mind your business.
All right, now.
I would say to the wife, that was an expensive DoorDash.
Ooh, baby. Yeah, you know, I agree. You know, you had the footage for, you know, the protection of your house, your apartment, whatever. If it happens to pick up somebody's illicit affairs, then that's on them. You know, they always say what don't come out in the wash comes out in the rinse. You know, when God is ready to expose them, he'll expose them, and you ain't going to have nothing to say about it because it's going to come out whether you want it to or not, you know. So, you know, yeah, mind your business. Go ahead, because I do agree, you know, the husband probably does know. He may not be all oblivious to this, the comings and goings of the DoorDash people, and how do we know he ain't got some ring around the house picking up all that footage? What you got going on the outside, he got going on the inside. He knows what's happening. So, yeah, leave them people alone, and it'll happen when it happens.
I disagree. When you play spades, you do not play the joker first. You hold it for a better time.
Listen, I got enough preaching the Bible. I don't need to be worried about the people next door, because now that's a new issue, and now I come home, my ring is all messed up, shoot it, bashed it up. Oh, yeah, you want to see? I'm going to show you what you can see now. My apartment doorbell ain't working right now. Nah, it's all right. Y'all go ahead and do y'all thing. I don't know what nothing. I would do like Pastor Charlotte said. I'm pulling up with my popcorn, and we're going to get this we gonna get this cracking. I'm just going to look at it as though it's a TV program. Oh, my gosh. Right. Here's the story I want to talk about today. And it ain't a church folk story, but it is a church folk story, because everything becomes a church folk story. So you have this couple that's been together for 10 years, married for 3. They have 2 children. They have more than ups and downs. This is utter chaos that's going on. You know, he's complaining. Well, first of all, he's the man of the house who works and provides for the family. She's a stay-at-home mom with, you know, and wife. She does her cooking and cleaning and all this kind of stuff. They do watch movies. They go on dates, and they seem to be happy up until the arguments start. The arguments get real nasty. They're slinging mud, as they say, and it's gotten to the point where the husband wants out. of the marriage because he says he's fed up with her constant arguing, raising her voice. She's argumentative and she's disrespectful. And she, on the other hand, is pleading for the marriage not to be over. Now, he claims, that disrespect to men is worse than cheating on your on your husband. And he would rather have be cheated on than be disrespected. So, he's at the point where again he says, listen, I'll stay even after her bad behavior so she can become a fool for him like he's been a fool for her for dealing with all her level of disrespect for throughout these years. And he says to her, I'll give you an ultimatum. If you let me cheat on you just one time, then I'll stay with you. That's all I'm asking. To just let me cheat on you just one time, and I'll stay with you. And we can go on as though nothing happened. And I want her to feel the pain that I've been feeling all of these years. Pastor Shaw.
Right.
What would you say about this ultimatum?
Well, I feel that he's already was cheating, and he's just trying to get her approval so this way he can say that he already asked her. She's already disrespecting, so therefore, what's the difference? You disrespect, Cheated, or whatever she's doing, it's still the same thing. Disrespect is disrespect. So if you say you want to, you ask me that, you already had that in mind. You already done, you did it. You just didn't get caught yet, you know. So you asking my permission. Elder could never ask me that. Let me just say that. He could never ask me that. Okay? Because I'll be back to these other stories. That one. That would be me. Okay?
Oh,
so let me just say that. You know, you're asking permission for something that you're already doing. That's what it sounds like to me. You're trying to find a way out for it to be okay. But a lot of times with people that cheat, you're not going to cheat one time. It might get good to her and get good to you, and that will, you will always have her in the flame. People don't break up. They just slide on over. That's all they do. So,
all right.
So, Elder, you listening, don't ever think. Elder, you listening, so don't ever think that you can ask me that, boo.
I think we're going to have to watch out for El. Be his backup, Pastor KL. We're going to have to put him, you know, give him some security detail. We're going to have to take up a collection from the due time listeners so we can take up, make sure he got some security behind him. She just openly told him, don't even think about it. Wow. Wow. Pastor Jeff, he says that for him, he would rather be cheated on than disrespected. Does that make any sense to you as a man?
I mean, cheating is disrespect. I don't see where that even makes sense. She respected the marriage, respected relationship, she wouldn't be cheating. So I don't see that statement making any sense at all. That's disrespect right there. Okay? But that him talking about let me cheat one time and all that, you know, that's bull. He's already
just say how you feel, bro.
Ha 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 ha
true. You go ahead. You go ahead.
I'm not really a curse, so.
Listen. You ain't finish it, so we good. We good. As you can see, Pastor Charlotte kind of sets the tone. I think she just said a whole lot. Listen, she didn't put out there openly that her husband better not know. Whatever you said, you're going to have to go a little bit further than that to be bad. Because we definitely got our share here. But don't let us stop you, Pastor Jeff. Continue.
I'm just saying, babe. It looks like a setup for a menage a trois. That's all it is.
It does. When Pastor Charlene did hit the nail on the head, he already got his plan laid out. She begging to stay. She begging him to stay. Oh, he know exactly how to put it down. He can make this work. All right. Oh, Pastor KL. I don't even know what you got to say. Go ahead now.
I just think we need to hold hands and hold hearts right now. Because I think you guys got a little crazy. I want to first say that I call Pastor Charlotte quite often to see how she's doing, and I asked her about Elvis. But now I want to hear his voice. Don't just tell me he's okay. I need to hear his voice.
Okay.
You're dangerous.
I'm like
Pastor Jeff. He is disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? So you can't take the disrespect, but you rather her cheat and be disrespectful. You know, that makes no sense. That's just a setup for what you really want. You know, you knew you was about to ask this question. You know, so if the cheating is less disrespectful in your mind, then if you cheated on her, it'd be less disrespectful. So that's why you figure, well, listen, you know, that's the least of the two evils. So can I have somebody on the side? Listen, I've never in my entire former life just had somebody on the side for one time. You know, then if that person is willing to be on the side, then she or he will always be in the archive just in case the main one acts the fool. The side chick realizes that she is the side chick, and she's accepted that she's the side chick. So she's going to, and a lot of times the side chick wants to be the main chick, so she's going to make herself available anytime you want them. So we don't just cheat one time. No. We cheat once for the father, one for the son. We just cheat, you know.
Oh gosh. You know, none of this makes sense. You know, when I read it, I was like, well, I had heard a whole lot of stuff from a whole lot of men. I ain't never heard no man say, you know, he'd rather be cheated on than to be disrespected. Well, like you all have said, it's all disrespect. You know, it's almost like, you know, there's no gradation of sin. Sin is sin in God's eyes. So once you're disrespectful, you're disrespectful. I find it interesting that he threw out the fact that, you know, cheating is, he'd rather be cheated on. Because, again, I agree. That sets the tone for what you really want to do. So now you just happen to come behind that and say, but if you let me cheat just once, why even bother if it's going to be just once? So I'm supposed to say yes in to keep you from leaving me? You might as well just go ahead and leave, because I'm not agreeing to that. And not only that, I'm not breaking down to now agree on anything to keep. That's bribery. So we do bribery in marriages now, Pastor Jeff? Is that what we're doing?
We do whatever it takes, I guess. You know, whatever floats your boat. You know, bribery, whatever. You know, that whole situation there, Claire's day, he is trying to set something, maybe have threesomes going on, and all kind of an open marriage, I guess.
Right. Because once she says yes to your ultimatum, it becomes an open marriage, because she's giving quote unquote permission for you to do that. So yeah, you know, you're being nice and manipulative, and you know, I'm gonna be honest. The reason why I said we can always turn this into a church folk situation or conversation rather is because, you know, I've seen that kind of stuff. You know, when you're talking to couples, well, if he does that, then I'll do this, or if she does that, then I'll do that. And that sure ain't the way God designed marriage to be, you know. And unfortunately, again, here we are with, you know, when we see this stuff like this, and it comes from, you know, people who don't claim to be, you know, God's people, you can get it, you know. All right, fine, you know, that's the way they choose to live. But when you're supposed to be underneath the banner of Christ, and you doing the same things that, you know, people are doing that are not in the church, then where do we look, how do we look any different, Pastor KL? What are we talking about here about the marriages that mirror in the church, that mirror the marriages that are in the world?
Well, you know, unfortunately, you know, people are so desperate in their marriage, you know, that they'll do anything to try to save it, whether it's godly or not. You know, we often say that, you know, sometimes young ladies, you know, feel like a piece of man is better than no man at all. So I'll deal with whatever it is. And then there's some men who can't live alone or who can't be by themselves. They gravitate and they need to be with somebody who tells them what colors to wear, you know, do this, do that. So we do things that is definitely ungodly. You know, let's add another person into our relationship so we can spice that. Maybe he'll stay longer. Maybe he won't leave the house as much. You know, let me rob somebody so I can give my wife all the stuff that she wants. You know, it sounds far-fetched, but these are the things that happens because we're not secure with ourselves, because we're not grounded and rooted in God, so that God can order our steps and God can explain to us that unless the man is following God, that he is no longer the head of the household and it's time for me to go. You know, there's different signs that God will give you, but we won't adhere to it, because we're so much in love and we don't want to find ourselves by ourselves. So that's the problem.
And we've got a comment that just says that, and it may not have even been, about this particular story, but it fits even a couple of the other stories. You know, being by myself, you know, I can't see it, you know, but, you know, something is better than nothing. Pastor Charlene, you know, what are we talking about here where people are, even in the church, even those who claim to be Christ-like, who claim to be Christian, they're as desperate as the people on the outside of the church, and their choices are not even better because they're desperate.
Because they haven't allowed God to break them first before they decided to get married and being able to love you. A lot of times, that's what I see of the low self-esteem. excuse me, low self-esteem, and with that, you know, you need somebody to be able to guide and lead you with that you're not hearing from God. You're hearing from this person. So that person becomes your God and your idol, and you think that you're hearing from God. So a lot of times when we don't, especially us as women, you know, when you go to the desperate, because my age, because I have these children, you know, I don't want to raise them by myself. So we make ourselves low standards than what we should. I see a lot of that as well, where that, you know, even in the mix, it looks good outside, you know, but you don't really know what's going on with them at home. You know, so because a lot of times it's like, okay, wait till we get home. I'll take care of that later. You know, so even in being of that being said, we don't. But I always have a problem as well as leaders standing. If we're not showing in our marriages how we should be, how can the people see what a healthy marriage is? I know a lot of people that don't, you know, husband and wife, talking about pastors and their spouses, right? So if you're not showing them that, you know, the love that you have and the connection that you have, the team that you're you know, together in ministry as well as on the outside, how can I see? Because most of us have never seen a healthy marriage. Most of people, you know, it's only a mother that's raising the kids, you know, daddy's not there, or they've seen the abuse, you know, in relationships, how he or she, because it goes both ways, women beat on men as men beat on women. So, you know, so if you've never seen a healthy relationship, you're not around that, you know, just as well as that's what made me think about in the church of doing a marriage ministry, you know, where you're able to sit and ask questions, get those that's been together for 40, 50, 60 years, whether they're able to come and say how they're making it through, you know, of seeing. Well, we did have hard times, and being real, you had hard times, you know what I mean? We might not have started this way because you start off loving each other, you know, then things happen, children come. So if they don't see nothing healthy, how do they know how to be healthy? All I see is what's on TV. All I see is, you know, in my own family. So we have to be able to get together and being able to show what makes a healthy relationship. And let me sit in the front.
You're stupid.
Oh, gosh.
You know, Pastor Jeff, and I got Pastor Charlotte brings up the issue of, you know, we need, excuse me, as leaders to show what a healthy marriage is. You know, you and Lady Nicole, you know, you have your marriage Mondays where you, you know, allow people to ask questions and stuff like that. How important is this? You know, Pastor Charlene says that we need it, and yet you are actually doing it. Why? You know, why is this so important?
Well, I told my wife a long time ago, you know, I've watched a lot of marriages coming up, and it wasn't so good. And I says, I believe that marriage basically the substratum of everything, that family structure, how that, you know, nothing else can go right if that doesn't go right. If the family and not healthy, the marriage is not healthy. You know, anything you build on that is going to be messed up. Even if it looks like it's successful, it's going to fall. So God has put it on my heart to show a good marriage, to show love and to show how it's supposed to be done. And I believe that's part of my ministry. But that's coming from a guy who was such a whore, you know, for years. Seeing all the destruction that I did, dating all the women that I dated, and breaking up marriages, and I you know, when I really got to live it and save, God showed me the damage, and He showed me that He started in the garden. That
together with Adam and Eve and all the dysfunction that came. You know, look what happened to the world. And I just think it's the most important thing. If you are married, let your marriage preach to the world.
All righty. Well, you know, while we're there, I have to tell you, I have been on with Pastor Jeff and Lady Nicole and their marriage ministry Mondays, and it's at 8 o'clock. And if you pull up either one of their names, it'll come up. And I have to tell you, it is the most hilarious thing I have seen. It's truthful. It's very truthful. And Pastor, let me tell y'all something. The Pastor Jeff you see here ain't the Pastor Jeff you see on that live. I'm waiting to see the Pastor Jeff come here that's on that live. Because when I tell you I crack up, I'm like, yo, he is sick. And you see Lady Nicole, you know, she's, you know, just, you know, nice and reserved. And the same way you see her on Wednesday, you hear her on Wednesday. And he's over there cutting up. So it is definitely a blessing because it's candid. Like, you know, Pastor Sean has said, you know, one thing that we do here on His Due Time is we keep it real, as they say. And, you know, very transparent, a little more transparent than I would have ever thought, you know, people would share. But whatever God is, you know, put through, sending through you, you got to do it. But I tell you, catch their marriage Mondays. It is hilarious. It is hilarious. And I'm going to try to remember to remind you all on Monday. To be, it just so happens to be Relationship Mondays here, and again I'm gonna go back and look at the date that the two of them were on here for the relationship clinic. But they are hilarious. They are hilarious. So you know it fits right along with what Pastor Charlene already said. Pastor KL, you know, we can always make this into a church folk issue. You know, church folk always want you to believe that, you know, they ain't got no problems, that their marriage has not hit a rocky spot. The next thing you hear is we're separated, we're separating, we're divorced. What does that say for God's people?
Well, it's really rough, you know. It's really rough, you know, when you say to death do us part. Some folks are dying in their relationship. They really, really are. And they have to go to God. You know, they have to come together. You know, a lot of times, you know, we go to God individually, you know, which is good. But you know, the other thing is that when you're having problems in your marriage, it's time to go to God together. You know, at some point, you guys have separated yourself from God together. You may believe in God on the West Wing, and I may believe in God on the East Wing, but we've separated our connection, our together connection from God. So at some point, we have to come back together and go to God together to get this thing figured out. You know, because, you know, God is the author and finisher of our faith. So we have to believe that God can and will do all things but fail us. So we have to go back to the root, and the root should be God. You know, once you're no longer grounded and rooted in the Word of God, then there's no relationship that can stand, whether it be a friendship, whether it be, you know, your marriage is not going to stand once you're, listen, if a plant gets uprooted from the ground, it dies. Automatically, it dies unless you plant this thing back again, unless it's rooted again. So you have to be rooted in God. Once you pull your roots up from God, spiritually, you're dying.
All right, now, you know, you're talking to a panel of not just pastors. You're talking to a panel of pastors who are all married. So, you know, they've been married. Pastor Charlene, how many years you've been, how many years you and Elder's been married? And he's sitting with some gray tape over his mouth and handcuffed to the chair.
That's not nice. That's not nice. Oh, I don't know. What is it, 9 years? I don't know. He keep up with it. We got married in 2013, I think.
Okay. So, yeah. Oh, it's 9 years. Okay. Okay. All right. So, she they know a little something about, you know, marriage and how to keep it going for 9 years. Pastor Jeff, how many years has it been for you and Lady Nicole?
We moving into 20 come May.
Wow, 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 amen. All right, 20 years in May. All right. Pastor KL, how many years are we talking about?
Well, New Year's Eve will be 15 years.
Wow, all right. So,
doing,
you know, you've got some years here. What'd you say?
I'm doing a life sentence.
You know, so you know, you're talking to, you know, you don't have any newlyweds that you're talking to. You have some veterans here. So I'm sure, you know, they've been, you know, they've had some level of up and down. You know, you nobody goes through any relationship, scot-free. You know, and maybe one day we can get all three couples on and we'll, you know, do something together. I think that would be a lot of fun. And, you know, it's important that you, you know, just watch, you know, and listen and pray, you know, so that you can have a marriage. Yeah, and we're not talking about a marriage that's just a trash. That's about marriage is trash. You know, no marriage is perfect, but we're not talking about a marriage of trash and people who just want to hold on because they want to just say they've been together. You know, I've had people say, I've been married for 30 years. Well, half the time, y'all weren't even together. So are we really talking about something here? So, you know, we really, you know, want to give God the best in our marriages. And I'm going to ask each pastor, Pastor Charlene, If your husband says to you, let me cheat just once, what should she do?
If my husband say to me, let me cheat just once, first I would ask him, who you checking? Are you checking my friends? You know what I mean? Who you checking? And then after that, lights go out.
Wait, what do you? That I could take that a whole lot of ways. We'll talk in private so I can find out what the place. I don't know if I want you to say that on the air. Pastor Jeff, as a man, what are you telling the ladies if he comes home and he says, "Let me cheat just once"? What should she do?
The marriage is over. If you're
right.
Saying that, it's over because he's chances are he's already done it. He just, you know, it's over.
All righty.
I mean, that's just me.
That's what I was
going
to say.
People can get past infidelity, but it's over for me. If you're coming to me saying let me, because that means if it's a woman, if my wife's coming to me telling me that her heart is already knitted.
Wait, say that again. Her heart is always knitted, is already knitted.
If she's trying to get permission from me to cheat just once, that means it's all, her heart is already there where she wants to cheat.
Okay. All righty. You faded out on us, so I didn't get to hear you the first time. Pastor KL, if you're telling the ladies, if he comes home saying, let me cheat just once, what are you telling her?
Well, baby, you tell him that there's room at the cross for one. There's room at the cross. That's the cross, baby.
Thank you, Pastor Charlotte. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Thank you, Pastor Gail, for your contribution into today's conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You as well.
You all do the same.
All right. God bless y'all.
Thank you. Woo! Nice conversation. Let's hold hands and hold hearts. We need to. Heavenly Father, oh God, we thank you. We thank you, God, for life. We thank you, God, for just simply waking us up this morning, God, to give us an opportunity to get it right. Another opportunity to get it right, God. You know, we've talked about relationships on many different levels today, God. We've talked about the couple, you know, where one wasn't pulling his weight and she lost, you know, her cool and she just didn't want to do it anymore. We talked about the married couple, you know, where, you know, he's viewing, you know, the child in the shower. Lord, we're talking about, you know, the couple across the hall who's, you know, got their coming and goings and she, you know, appears to be cheating. And Lord, finally, you know, the one with the ultimatum of just let me step out of this marriage just once and things are going to be all right. And Lord, we're lifting all of this to you right now. It all belongs to you because unless any of these couples or people who are experiencing this allow you in, it's not going to work. That third cord is so crucial, God. And if we haven't said anything today, if we haven't said anything else today, we want your people to know that third cord is essential to making these unions work. They've already committed themselves. They've already said, I do. They've already said, for better and for worse, you know, some of them. And where they go from there, God, because they feel that they can walk through these and walk in these relationships without you, God, that's why it's a mess. So, Lord, we're praying today that till much is given, much is required. Even if somebody was on, God, from this morning at 6:59 who didn't know about any of this stuff, they had never heard of it, their pastors never talked about it, they've never seen what a good relationship looks like, God, we thank you, oh Lord, for your introduction today. For those who've heard it, but they are now hearing it again, maybe even for the 15th, 16th, 23rd time, we pray, God, that it sinks in today, that the listening ears were on just a little different this morning, and that this is a game changer. You know, God, I always, you know, say, let this be the first day of our new walk. Let this be the day that we take what we hear seriously. Let us take the commitment we've made to you differently. That I don't care what mama and daddy did. I don't care what grandma and grandpa did. I don't care what auntie and uncle did. I don't even care what pastor and first lady did. But today you are speaking into these relationships and that they are following what you have for their relationship, that their relationship is unlike any other relationship that they've ever seen. And although they can pattern, you know, themselves behind other relationships that have struggled, who've been there, you can still speak to their relationship in a special way, targeted for them. and that you're sending all of these conversations, you're sending all of these couples to be an assistance. But God, you have the final word. You have the final say into that relationship. So God, we're asking you to open up ears, open up eyes, open up hearts, open up spirits, God, so that everyone walks differently today. That if someone is talking about divorce, that you just turn them around. God, reroute them so that they look at you. Pastor KL said, you can go over into your own corners, but it's not until you go to God as a united front, as a pair, that's one, and take it to you, God, and you are the change agent. If your heart is contrite and you really want it, we've seen you turn a many a thing around. We've seen you turn those dead bones into live bones. Those dead situations are now live and thriving. And we thank you, God, that you used those as an example as to you can do anything but fail. So we thank you, Father. We thank you, God, for reminding us. And we thank you, God, for just introducing this. Either way it is, we give you the glory and the honor because you always invest in us, God. In 2.5 years of this broadcast, there's very little we have not talked about. You have ensured that your people get the information that they need. Thank you. Thank you for using us in ways that we never even thought we could be used in. Thank you for using us when we thought we were dead and couldn't be used. Thank you, Father. We love you for choosing us. We thank you, God, for choosing those who are listening, near and far, not just in the United States, but you've put our footprint, your footprint, in how many other states? That we've been a blessing. Our lives, our former lives, have been blessings to these people who are listening. And the seeds have been planted. And as your word says, you will send the water and you will give the increase. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We give you the glory and honor so rightly due your name. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, a lot was said today, even in the stories. And again, like I said to you many times, I was never a news person. And as God instructed us, you know, on this plane, you know, just take the news, just take what this world is going through, and teach God's people the right way to do things. Teach God's people the right way to think. Teach people, you know, what it is to be, you know, slow to speak but quick to hear. Calm down, you know, be still. Say nothing at times. You know, this is a learned behavior. Because as you can see, the world just does what it wants to do. The world makes very bad decisions. Well, so do we as Christian people. If I could tell you how many bad decisions I've watched where God has tried to reroute people, but because they are in their own way, you know, they can't be rescued because you're standing in your own way because you want to do what you want to do. God is not going to, and I want to rephrase that, God is not going to force himself on anybody. He wants you to choose him, and he will send whoever it is that he needs to send to guide you. You've got to be smart enough. You've got to be aware enough. You've got to be able to have that discernment for who and what you listen to. because it can go wrong just like that. It can go left just like that. It could make an about face just like that. Ain't nothing guaranteed. You're talking about a woman who spent a year with a man hoping he would start paying some bills. You're talking about a woman who's been married for 14 years and just found out that her husband is not just a peeping Tom, but he's right in the house, and he's a peeping Tom. You're talking about, you know, a man who may know or may not know that his wife is cheating on him, and he's going in and out every day. And this is going on right in his home. She's not leaving the house to cheat at a hotel. It's happening right in the house, possibly. And you're talking about a marriage where a husband has already stepped out on his wife. You know, I agree 100%. This is already done. He ain't waiting to do it. It's already done. And how do we know? Because the Bible says once you have already thought about it in your head, you've already committed the sin of lust. So you don't have to actually go out and even cheat. You know, we talked about the fact that, yeah, he's probably out there already. But even the thought, even for him to bring that idea to his wife, he's already cheated. See, people think that you actually got to do the deed in order for the deed to be chargeable. But we don't realize that we didn't sin from the inception of just the thought, just what's in our heart. You don't really want the marriage, because if you did, you know, I've read everything, but I never read that they went to therapy. I've read everything, but I never read that they went to the pastor, that they sought some outside help. And maybe that outside help would be the difference that could make for a better marriage. You still have two children there. So your breakup is not going to only affect you. Now, I'm not saying stay because of the kids, because I don't agree with that at all. Unhappy parents make for unhappy children. Trust me. I've seen enough of it to know. All around me. Y'all think y'all hiding things from the kids. Y'all go outside and y'all arguing, or y'all wait till the kids go to sleep and all of a sudden. Kids aren't stupid. They sense when things are wrong. You're not doing them any favors by staying together. Your first honor and commitment is to God. If you want to honor them kids first, your priorities are already out of sync. So we're talking about many, you know, all these people thought, when they said I do, whether when she let him move in with her or she moved in with him and they didn't even get married. But once that commitment was made, they said, and I do. So once that happened, there's a commitment made. But nobody thought they would be here. She didn't thought she would be stabbing him. She didn't think that she would be working with ICE and the jail to hold her husband. He didn't think that his wife would be putting somebody in his bed. And she didn't think her husband would come home, despite all the chaos, to say to her, let me cheat just once. Give it to God. Let him change it all. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to give God your life right now. Oh, strengthen that relationship with God right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares our life. When it's Wow Wednesday, I love you.